Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn once again to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be looking once again at one of the parables, one of these agricultural parables that Jesus uses. It's a parable of the kingdom of God. In several of the places, the actual series that we're looking at here are parables of the kingdom that Jesus gives. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, and then he gives an illustration. In this particular chapter, he's already used the illustration of the sower, and now we're going to be looking at wheat and tares. And so Jesus, living in a society in which they made their living by agriculture and by farming and by caring for sheep and cattle, Jesus used all these things as illustrations to describe God's kingdom. And so we're going to look at the parable. And then Jesus very helpfully gives us the interpretation of the parable. We're going to be looking at that as well. So Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So his servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now down to verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of this age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Amen. Please be seated. It would really be nice if every single parable had its interpretation like this. The good thing is Jesus does this on several occasions. And here in this chapter, we're looking at farming once again. We're looking at the illustration that he gives. He is comparing something that his disciples would understand intimately. They all would know what it's like to sow a field and then discover that along with the good grain that they had sown, there are weeds that crop up. It might very well be, as we saw with the parable of the sower, that when Jesus told this parable, they might have been able to turn around and look and see fields very close by that had both wheat and tares growing in them at the same time. And so Jesus often would take something that was quite common and use it as an illustration. And that's what he does right here. This farmer in the parable, as we see him at the beginning, is well off. He has both servants and he has harvesters. He's bought good seed and he has sown it in his field in that time of that part of the world in autumn. But an enemy comes at nighttime and he sows tares among the wheat. The Greek word for tares is zizania. Now, English has many different words from many different languages all around the world, probably more than practically any other language that I know of. But we didn't carry over the word zizania into English. At least I'm not aware of it. It might be out there in the dictionary, but I've never heard it. The French did. They transliterated it, and so la zizanie is a word that is used in French to mean discord. And so they literally use the term sowing discord, and they talk about sowing zizani. And that's what we find here. The sons of the wicked one are the discord that the evil one has sown within his kingdom. Tares for us are a type of rye grass. It resembles wheat, except that the grains are black. It's translated as weeds here. And the point is, when these things first start popping up out of the ground, they look just like wheat. There's no way to tell when they first come up out of the soil what's wheat and what's tares. Otherwise, it would be evident. But as they grow, when they mature, evidently you can tell the difference. One's a weed and one's the actual wheat once they begin to produce the grain that they're supposed to produce. This type of tare that we have here is something that's found exclusively in cultivated fields. And it is, as they say, a degeneration of wheat, actually. It's like wild oats in North America. Now, nobody suspects that the wicked one has done what he's done until springtime. Plants begin to sprout, they begin to form heads, and then all of a sudden it's clear, here's real wheat and over here is a weed. The wheat and the tares are both recognized, as Jesus has said they would be, by their fruit. You will recognize them by their fruit. I'm talking about people, but also here in this parable as well. It's the same idea. But it's impossible for the farmer to do anything to remedy the situation at this point. Anybody who tries to go in and pull up the tares will trample down or pull up the wheat at the same time. And so the roots have become so intertwined that pulling out one pulls out the other. It's impossible to get only the tares out of the field at this point until harvest comes. And so the servants come, they tell the farmers what's happened. They want to go pull up the weeds. And they ask, where have these tares come from? And the farmer's reply is, it's an enemy. An enemy has done this. But, he says, leave them in the field until the time of harvest. And then he's going to send his harvesters in. And notice the order. He specifies it both in the parable and in the interpretation of the parable. Pull up the tares first, bind them in bundles to be burned, and then gather what's left, which is the wheat, into the farmer's barn. Now, what would literally happen is those weeds would be used as fuel for fire in the wintertime. So the farmer is going to make good out of a bad situation. The harvest is not going to be as good as he expected. Those tares, those rotten old weeds have taken up a lot of the moisture, a lot of the nutrients out of the soil, so the harvest is not as plentiful as a farmer would expect. And so there is an attack by the enemy, and there are consequences to that attack. That's what would happen in an actual field. In the parable, since Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this, he interprets this, and he gives us every single detail, and he gives us a point. The point is this, that there will be in this world, in this age, conflict, constant conflict between good and evil, God and Satan, Christians and unbelievers. And then he goes into detail. The one who sows the good seed is none other than the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the farmer in the parable. This term, Son of Man, Jesus uses to refer to himself and to refer to his true humanity. As Paul said in Philippians, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so Jesus took upon himself human nature. But Son of Man also is a term that Jesus uses to refer to himself in terms of his office as Messiah. It's a description that's given. Daniel saw one like the Son of Man coming up to the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7. And in Revelation chapter 1 it says, and in the midst of the lampstands, and we saw that vision that John has at the beginning of the book, he sees these golden lampstands and someone walking in the midst. One like a Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a long golden sash, with a golden sash around his chest. And so this is the Lord Jesus Christ in this description. He's the one who commands the harvest. In Revelation 14, I looked and behold a white cloud, and seated on the cloud one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. For the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. And so Jesus is the one who indeed is the harvester in Revelation. The field, according to Christ in the parable, is the world. Belongs to the farmer. All of this world belongs to God. It belongs to God through Christ. The field will grow both good men and evil men together. So the point really is this, that no matter where you are on the face of this earth, all men, no matter what a man thinks about himself either, all men are the property of God through Christ. Okay? All men. Doesn't matter whether you're Hindu or Muslim or atheist or Christian, all men belong to God. He's the property of King Jesus. Jesus owns all of us. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. These are the ones that are the righteous ones who have been declared righteous by the sacrifice of Christ. For if because of one man's trespass, Paul says, death reigned through that one man, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also will reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 5. This righteousness that is provided for you comes by means of faith in Christ. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." Romans 1:17. And so you and I, as sons of the kingdom, are new creatures in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We're sown by the Son of Man. We're placed into His kingdom by the Son of Man. Christ brings the righteous into being by His blood atonement. And so there we are, sons of the kingdom, sown into the world by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? We're not alone. The wicked one also has his sons, the sons of the wicked one, and they are sinners. They sin out of a wicked heart. All men are like this by birth. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience. And so all of us were like that. And what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 is that the sons of the wicked one, the sons of the devil, follow him in disobedience. They follow after his footsteps. What happens with the wicked is they suppress the truth of God by their own wickedness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, Paul says. So, you've got these two kinds of men. You've got the sons of God and the sons of the devil. And we can trace their history all the way back to Genesis. Back in Genesis chapter 6. There is this description given in Genesis 6, verse 4. The Nephilim, the great ones, the giants, were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Now, don't follow the false interpretation that some people place on Genesis 6, 4 and say this is angels having sex with women. No. Because Jesus tells us that angels neither marry nor are given in marriage. This is something that is totally made up. Instead, what we find throughout Scripture is that there are two strands of humanity, the sons of God, those who are righteous through Christ, who are redeemed by the Lord, and the sons of men, as they're called here, or actually the sons of men are the sons of the devil. So the righteous and the wicked are these two divisions. And what is said in Genesis 6 verse 4 is that the strain of those who were righteous in Christ, those who were redeemed by the Lord, began to intermarry with those who were unbelievers, and they bore children. And this intermixture of believers with unbelievers produced mighty men of old, men of renown. And that's what Genesis 6:4 is all about. The sons of God sinned by, instead of following what the Lord would have them to do, which would be to marry with believing women, they looked at the beauty of unbelieving women and they married them instead. And that's where the sin came in Genesis 6:4. It has nothing to do with angels at all. They're called the righteous and the ungodly in Psalm 1. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked or the ungodly will perish. Those are the two strains of mankind. And they're distinguished by Jesus as the children of God and the children of the devil in John chapter 8. If God were your Father, Jesus says, you would love me, for I came from God and I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Okay, so here he is. Let me go on. If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God. Jesus speaks to some men and says, you are not of God. So he makes this distinction between those who are of God and those who are not of God. Those who are of God love Jesus. Those who are of God hear what Jesus says. It's all by the grace of God that they're able to do this at all. Those who are of the devil are unable to hear what Jesus says, want to carry out Satan's desires, which are specified by Jesus there as murder and lies. They do not believe in Jesus because they do not belong to God in the sense of having been redeemed by Christ. These two types of men exist side by side in this world. And so in the parable, the farmer cannot pull the tares out for fear of ripping up the wheat at the same time. And so, therefore, he will allow both to mature until the time of the harvest. And what that means is the righteous will continue to be righteous. As Revelation 22 says, let the evildoers still do evil, let the filthy still be filthy, let the righteous still do right, let the holy still be holy. And the wicked go from bad to worse. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:13, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Jesus isn't ignorant of what's going on. He is in control. He's going to wait out this situation. He knows where the tares come from and he knows why they're there in his field. And so as these men grow up in the field, the world, at first they may appear to be very similar. There will be imposters within the church and the kingdom of God who appear to be Christians at the beginning, but as they grow, they begin to show their true nature, their true character, their true colors. The righteous grow to become more righteous, and the wicked begin to show that they are the wicked. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The one who tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. The one who sets traps for believers. He who prowls about seeking someone to devour, as Peter said. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He is a sinner from the beginning. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning, John says in 1 John 3:8. So, he's known as the deceiver, the devil is. He's known as the father of lies. And Matthew 25 tells us that eternal fire is reserved for him. The harvest, Jesus says, is the end of the age or the close of the age. The Son of Man's in charge of the harvest. The harvesters are the angels that he sends forth, and all will be judged when they are brought to stand before the throne of Almighty God. And the devil is going to lose. He will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:10 tells us. And Satan's seed, the wicked, will be cast there as well. But the sons of God will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Notice one thing here that, and I'm just going to digress very quickly, to say that this parable emphasizes that God takes first out of his kingdom the wicked and throws them away, and then the righteous shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This set of verses, if there were no others in the Bible, and there are many others, but this set of verses destroys the false teaching of dispensationalism. The secret rapture of the church is a false doctrine. The secret rapture of the church is that God is going to take the righteous out and leave the wicked behind, right? And you see it on TV all the time, you read it in the bookstore, you see all this kind of stuff about dispensationalism, it's a Left Behind series, and all of these things. When you read the Bible, it's the other way around. What the Bible teaches is the ones taken out are the wicked, the ones left behind are the sons of God who shine like the sun in the sky in the kingdom of their Father. And that's what the Bible teaches, that's what Jesus says. And he emphasizes it not only in the parable, but in the interpretation of the parable. Okay. Now, come back to the main track. That was just a digression. Jesus is telling us that the weeding out of the kingdom is something that has been prophesied throughout Scripture. The Old Testament mentions it. Zephaniah chapter 1. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. The throwing of the seed of the devil into the fiery furnace is a reference to Daniel. Whoever does not fall down and worship immediately will be cast into a burning fiery furnace. God delivered his people from that, but the wicked are cast there. And in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day is coming that shall set them ablaze, declares the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. The righteous shining like the sun is also found in Daniel chapter 12. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. In Malachi 4:2, but as for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Alright, what's the point? The point's this. Patience. We're not to be impatient, as the servants of this farmer were. They wanted to run into the field immediately and try to root out all the evil men from the world. Jesus is going to do that when he comes. Jesus has told us that. God has created all men. He regenerates his elect so that we become the righteous through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the idea seems to be that if the servants were to go into the field and pull up everything that looked like a weed, they might possibly pull up wheat who is resembling a weed before he's regenerate. And shows himself to be a wheat, okay? If he is ripped up before his conversion, then he certainly looks like a weed. but he later becomes wheat through the righteousness of Christ. He's always been wheat, but he shows himself to be wheat. He just looks like a weed before he's converted. Wicked people, though created by God, have been corrupted by Satan and are used by him to try to influence us. That's going to go on in the world. Unregenerate people are going to try their best to get you to deny God and deny Jesus Christ. And they will only be separated by conversion in this life, so that these are declared righteous by Christ, or they will be separated when the judgment day comes and the punishment follows. The question then is, which one are you? Are you a son of the kingdom of God? You only are through Christ, Christ alone. Or are you a son of the evil one? Spiritually, those that appear to be tares become wheat in God's field through grace. They always were wheat. They just look like tares before their conversion. But it comes about by repentance and faith in Christ. Which are you? Which are you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, our Savior. We thank you for this parable that he gives us about the kingdom of God, a parable of patience, of waiting upon you, of knowing, Lord, that you are in charge, even though it appears that there are things that we ought to attempt to do. Yet we are to wait upon you in the final judgment. Father, bless us to do this. Bless us to be faithful in being the wheat that you have planted in this field of shining like your sons in your kingdom. And Father, may we always honor and glorify and serve the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We ask all of this in his holy name. Amen.